Today on the Blue Cord Podcast.
So I went into the building and I asked this lady, and she goes back and calls the pastor. I never met a pastor before. And for the first time in my life, I said, I'm in a big trouble. Everything that I have known has been destroyed or gone. And I'm a Muslim. So for the first time in my life, I stopped. And I said, actually, I don't know what I am anymore.
If you're like most women I know, you want to trust the Lord and fearlessly share Jesus. Yet something holds you back. Maybe you're struggling to navigate our culture. Maybe you wrestle with fear or lack skills. Maybe it's easier to stick in your comfort zone and keep your mouth shut rather than to talk about your faith, especially across cultures. That's what the Blue Cord Podcast is all about. I'm your host, Karen Bajani, and if sharing your faith has been hard for you and you long to be brave, strong, and courageous, this is for you. Today, I'm with my sister Mariama, who was born and raised in Somalia, the fourth child in a large Muslim family. And as a young wife and mother, she immigrated to the United States, where she met Jesus. Now, she's the author of two books, From the Crescent to the Cross, and I for My Sister. So, Mariama, I'm so thrilled that you're here with me today.
Karen, it is a pleasure. It's always a blessing. You are a good friend, and I'm excited about the work that you are doing. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. I can't even believe that God lets us get together and share stories like this. So let's start with your childhood. What was it like growing up, and what did you know about God when you were growing up in Somalia?
I grew up in a Muslim family. God is doing amazing things in Somalia, but when I was growing up, we were all Muslims. So we didn't know anything else besides being a Muslim. Everything that we have known or everything that we have thought or how to connect with God was from Allah and from the Quran. And unfortunately, I didn't know, just like many other Muslims. And we recite the Quran, we recite the Hadith, we pray five times, we fast, we pay the zakah or the alms, and the five pillars of Islam. Everybody is doing it, but nobody is saying, is this God hear us? When we pray, does he hear us? So as a child, early in my childhood, that was my dilemma. This God that we're praying to, who is he? Can he be known? Or does he know us? Does he know me? And does he hear when I pray? So that was the questions that will take me to all throughout the world and ending up in Southern California. And that question finally get answered 7 years later in the United States. I was 7 years in the United States and that question was answered. So as a child, there was Allah. And everybody was doing something for him. He was a God that was demanding stuff from us. And as a child, our daddy would send us in the summertime to the country, and I would herd sheep and goats, especially the sheep. And I was responsible for the small lambs. And I would just be lost in the country. It was always a springtime and Africa, that open spaces. And the sky and, you know, everything was so big and so beautiful that someone else was beckoning me and I didn't know who that was. And I just felt that presence and I was just lost in him, this entity that I didn't really know, but I knew he was not Allah. So that is where my journey begins. And one day I asked my grandmother if God hears our prayers, and she said, nobody knows because God reads minds and hearts. And when I heard that, I was so broken. How could I know a God who can read my mind? Because in the world, I can pretend. I can let you know what I want you to know. I can behave the way you want me to behave. But who can understand or know or hide from God who reads your minds and knows your heart? And that was the day that I was moved away. As I was growing up, little by little, just kind of moving away and getting away and trying to hide from him. as if I can hide from him. And so that was my childhood.
I just love this picture of you being a young shepherdess under the huge sky, sensing and knowing that there is a God there and wondering if he hears you. And growing up, all that you ever knew was Allah. So with that in mind, let's fast forward. In your book, From the Crescent to the Cross, you share in detail about your journey to Jesus. And I think it reads like a Hollywood movie with this incredible unfolding story, just unfolding all around the world in many different countries, just full of loss and drama and pain and suffering. And I'm wondering how you coped through those years.
I learned to pretend. My world was not real. And I knew in my heart, deep inside, and it wasn't like I was doing these horrible things or doing all different kinds of crazy stuff. Outside world, I look normal. I look like anybody else. But in my heart and my brokenness in my soul, I was just broken, and I just tried to fill my emptiness with stuff. There was nothing held sacred. I was trying. I was really trying to find God, whether it was hypnosis, Buddhist, or Scientology, or all that. Every one of them just left me empty. And there was something deep inside me that one day I will find the truth. And one day there will be like this Wizard of Oz. If I can pull this curtain, I will find something there. Behind the curtain, something is there. I didn't know what it was, but I never lost hope. But meanwhile, I was just godless, like any secular American. I live in this country. Nobody told me anything about when I was doing the Scientology and doing Buddhists and doing this. And I would write to my family and I would say, oh, now I am Buddhist. Now I practice Scientology. Now I do this or that. And they would just laugh at me and say in a silly way, oh, silly Mariao, this is the new thing. But the problem was when I found Jesus, it was craziness. They were okay when I was a Buddhist. They were okay when I was Scientology. But as soon as I mentioned that I am a Christian, all hell broke loose with our relationship. But that is for later. In life, when you don't know God, Karen, we pretend to be okay. Because that is in our heart, and God has created us for things to be okay. And things are okay with Him when we are with Him. But when we are missing, we still have that need of things to be okay. So we all pretend. We all have faces. We all have masks. So I was just one of those people who were wearing different masks. Whatever the world wanted to see, I had a mask for it.
So how did that end? Bring us to that moment when that mask finally came off.
The mask came off and the country and Somalia plunged into a civil war. And most of my family was destroyed. All men in my family were killed. And the women and children were left and they ran into the wilderness. Later, I was here in the States. I always knew that I was a Somali and someday I would go back to Somalia. And that was gone. I no longer have a place. And I literally felt like I was in a sinking sand. There was no bearing. Where do I go? Because my heritage, my country, my people were my bearing. That was what grounded me. And that was no longer. It's gone. So one day as I was crying and mourning for the loss of my family, I saw a cross. I was just crying. I pulled into this building, and the building, I didn't know it was a church. I have never set my foot on a church before. 7 years in the United States, and nobody told me about Christianity or I am a Christian. Nobody shared the gospel with me. Now, it's easy to judge people and say, okay, why didn't they tell me or we're failing or something like that? But I do believe that there is a time for every person to know God, and we cannot just jump onto that time unless you're ready. And he knew I was a stiff neck. And he knew that if somebody shares their religion or whatever, I wouldn't listen to them. He has to show himself to me. And that is, especially with the Muslims, that's why he's appearing to us through dreams and visions and all that, himself showing up. Because if we try to witness to them, they won't accept it. They won't trust us because we have issues with trust. So that's why my time was not yet. The Lord knew that I have to try everything else. And everything else that I have tried has failed me. Every other religion, every other practices, every other cult, every other one of them. So then when I came to him, I knew and he knew that there was not a stone that was unturned.
So God was pursuing you all along. He was wooing you to himself. And so there you sat in this parking lot of a church that had a cross outside.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I cried as I was crying and weeping. And I just called the only God that I knew, that was Allah. So as I was calling out to Allah to help me, I just opened my eyes and right in front of me was this cross. Now, I live in this country for 7 years, so I knew I saw crosses before, but this cross was different. It was by question of helping me, this is the help. This was the help I was looking for. So amazingly, looking back, I call out to Allah, and I found Jesus. So I went into the building and I asked this lady and she goes back and calls the pastor. I never met a pastor before. And I told him about my condition. And for the first time in my life, I said, I'm in a big trouble. Everything that I have known has been destroyed or gone. And I'm a Muslim. So for the first time in my life, I stopped. And I said, actually, I don't know what I am anymore. In that moment, I knew that whatever I have known was not real for me. The pastor asked me if they can come to our house and share some films with us. And it was that Jesus film, you know, I believe. But they thought it was different. It started with the creation. And every Wednesday, we will see this. And the first one that I saw was, in Islam, Abel killed Cain. At least that was my understanding. I could be wrong. And I said, okay, there is a discrepancy here. And then it goes on, and then we come to Ishmael and Isaac. Now, Ishmael was the one who was sacrificed instead of Isaac. So another discrepancy. But the Lord just kept my mouth shut. I didn't argue. I didn't ask questions. I just wanted to see where this is going. And that in itself was a miracle of God. So after that, we finished that. I think it was about 4 weeks. And they also made me promise that I would go to the church every Sunday. So I would go to the church, but boy, Wednesdays were my best because I was hearing the story of the Bible from Genesis all the way. And then I came to the gospel. And that is where I met Jesus. Jesus appeared and he was the good shepherd. Now, as a Somali, I know being a shepherd, I know what it means. The shepherd is someone who cares and loves and knows you by name. And I also know there is a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. And how do you tell the good shepherd from the bad shepherd? Look at their sheep. You can tell the condition of his sheep if that is a good shepherd or a bad shepherd. So then when he said, I am the good shepherd, then in my heart said, this is what I have been looking for all my life, a good shepherd. I continued. One Sunday, the pastor was inviting people to accept if they want to commit to Jesus. And I get up and ask, I said, if I accept Jesus, would I go to paradise? So he didn't get the paradise stuff yet. And so you'll go to heaven. And I didn't know the heaven either. So I'm just kind of like, no, I want to go to paradise. So finally he gets it and he says, okay, you will go to paradise. I said, then I want this Jesus. I accepted him that day. I gave my life to him. Didn't know much, but I just on the assumption that I would escape from hell and I will go to paradise was good enough for me. I didn't know he can do anything for me in this life. I thought I should just fend for myself and I would just live this crazy life. But when I die, I don't have to stand in judgment with him, because that is the fear of every Muslim, death. What happens to us when we die? And there is this crazy life that they tell us, stories that I was told that there's angels, demons waiting for you in the grave who are fighting for your soul and all different kinds of stuff. So that day, I realized that I don't have to be afraid of death. Like I said, Karen, I didn't know much, but I knew that I don't have to be afraid of death anymore. Because from what I have heard, I would go to paradise. And that was good enough for me.
Let me just recap a few things, because you bring up some incredible nuggets here and I don't want to fly by them. I know that as people come to Jesus, there are an endless variety of stories. And I love, through all of the stories, how intricately Jesus meets us in a very personal way. And for you, what really resonated with your heart was Jesus as a shepherd, as the good shepherd, because you knew that growing up, you were a shepherdess. You knew exactly what that was. How sweet and meaningful and rich that the Lord amplified that to you. And that came through because someone shared the Bible with you and shared stories from the Bible with you. And I just hear that time and time again, the role of the Bible in helping someone understand what salvation in Jesus means, because we know that the Bible is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then the other thing that you really amplified is just how God was already wooing you to himself. And the believers that you met were there. They were there to tell you about Jesus and what that meant and point you to the word.
He has to put me into their building.
Yeah, he wooed you right into the building because no one was coming to you.
No one was coming to you, so he takes me there.
He took you right there. And my great hope through this podcast is that other women like yourself who have been living here in North America for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and who don't yet know about salvation in Jesus, that they come to know him through a listener right here today. So here we are. Now let's just fast forward. So you accepted Jesus as your savior and you still had lots to learn, lots to be discipled on. What happened then?
The day that I was saved, that evening, they had a potluck. They had all different kinds of food that I was not familiar with, like pork and sausages and all that. And I was just afraid to eat it because that was something that was unkosher for us. So then this lady says, "You are a Christian now, so come on, dig in." And I was just frozen. I just didn't know what to do. I thought I would be defiled. And I'm mentioning that because we have to be sensitive. If somebody is coming either from a Jewish background or from Islam, we have to be sensitive that we don't have to say, "Now you can eat this and it's okay," because it's not okay with us yet. So that's why I brought that up.
Yeah, it's good because we don't know all of the answers, but we can always ask. I love how my husband will say, "Listen, I'm so excited that we're friends and I'm likely to do something that maybe I don't understand or might even be offensive. And when that happens, will you let me know?"
Yeah, and that's the difference. The other one, the lady behind her came and she put her hand on my shoulder gently and she said, "You don't have to eat. It's okay." Now, that was the most comforting thing that I have ever known, because that day, the balance of leaving Jesus and staying with him was in danger. I was in danger of leaving the whole thing if this is what they're going to make me eat. So that was so comforting to me, and I wanted to share that with you guys. So then that same lady, she told me, "Now that you're a Christian and Jesus, you can talk to him." I have never heard a God that you can talk to. This was amazingly just out of this world. And I said, "Are you serious? I can talk to him?" She said, "Yeah, and he can talk to you." And that was even better. He said, "I can talk to him and he can talk to me." I said, oh my gosh, you know, this is awesome. So the next morning, I opened the Bible, and when I get lost, I remember what she said. I remember she said, you can talk to God and God can talk to you. And I just closed the book and I lifted up. Literally, he was in front of me. I said, Lord God, I just met you and I believe this is your book, but I don't know anything about it and I have never seen it before. Will you teach me? That is the question I asked. And then I just put it down and I got into my business and, you know, get ready for work and all that. And then I opened the radio and there was this guy who was announcing 5 years of a continuous Bible study from Genesis to Revelation. That was Dr. McGee. I don't know if you guys know him or not through the Bible radio. And he does that. And he was doing the introduction of Genesis. That was a prayer that was answered right that day. I said, oh my gosh, I have entered a different dimension here. I have a God that I can talk to who can answer me. And I hope in the Bible. Then a week later, I heard again the Holy Spirit. So there is another God. There is a three. Now it's Jesus, it's God and all this. So I just get panicked. I said, Lord, am I making a mistake? How many gods do we have? And how many others are hidden somewhere that's going to come? And I asked him, I said, I'm going to ask him this. Lord, I hear there is another God. His name is God the Holy Spirit. And I need to straighten this out. I need help. Again, the radio comes and there was this church that was doing 4 weeks of the Holy Spirit. I am just blown away. Yeah, God just answered, especially when you're a new believer. He just wants to build you. So he answered his prayers like this, quickly, yeah. Immediately.
So for any listener who might be listening who's not a believer in Jesus yet, Miriam is not saying there are three gods. She, in her learning process, discovered, she prayed and the Lord gave her answers and then she found out it's not three separate gods.
No, people call it Trinity, but actually it's a triune. The proper word is triune God. It is a God who is three, encompassing one God. So there's no three gods here, yes. One God.
Miriam, in your book, I for My Sister, you unpack how God pursues people in endless varieties. And because there's no one size fits all approach for believers to share Jesus, what's a good starting place for the listener today who's ready to step outside of her comfort zone into this discomfortable place of sharing Jesus? What are some words of wisdom and advice that you might have?
Karen, there was one girl one time who asked me, she said, Miriam, if I see somebody who's, you know, Muslim or wearing hijab and I don't know what to say to them. And my answer was, say hello. So let's begin with that. And we don't have to have an agenda. So first of all, make sure that you're grounded in the Word and you know who your God is. And then later on, you get to know them. People are people. They have needs. They're interested in their families and their life. People like to talk about themselves. Ask about themselves. Talk to them and say, well, so what do you like? Or how do you do? Just put the attention on them. And you will be surprised how doors will open. And the second thing is, you know, listen to the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you. If your heart is reaching that person, he's going to tell you in his word and remembrance of the scripture. And the Holy Spirit will just speak to you and say this or do this. The wisdom will come because the wisdom comes from the Lord. So just be sensitive to love them. I think that is what a lot of people think of sharing the Word of God, which is absolutely beautiful. And that is the main thing. You have to share the Word of God. But first of all, they have to know your heart, Karen. If they don't know your heart, the Word that you are telling, the words of our Lord that you are sharing wouldn't take a hold. It wouldn't grow. They have to know you. You have to know that you love them and you care for them. And maybe it takes time. We're always hairy. Our God is a patient. He's a long-suffering, patient God. And we should be patient with others as well, as he has been patient with us. So as for me, I don't rush into things. There are times that it's their time and you rush, you share the gospel and you let them in, open that door, you know, help them get into the door. But most of the time, it all comes down to a relationship, having a fellowship with them. And if they don't agree with you or they don't receive it when you share, the loving God who has died for them so that they can have life with Him, if they are not ready, don't break up the relationship. Stay in the relationship. Pursue them. And that is personally what I do, because I know that my God has pursued me. So the way He pursued me, I pursue them. Whatever it is, if they are sick, I visit them. If they need help, I do whatever it is needed. I am there for them. And that itself is going to speak volumes. So bottom line is relationship. Yeah.
Okay, so tell us an example for how you live this out in your daily and weekly life.
When the COVID, we're all locked down, we're doing a food ministry. So we'll go and we distribute food. But as we go, there was a group that was giving the food and there was others who are praying. So I'm always with the praying team. So I would go and say, hi, how are you? And then I would tell them, this food that you're receiving, it's not from us. It's free. And because they would ask us, how much is it or is it free? And say, it's free, but it's been given to you by God. It is, we are giving this to you because God wants to bless you. So then, do you need a prayer? That's one day, second day, third day. But I remember just when this lady who would just come, and one day she has asked me, I said, why are you guys doing this? And I told her, because God loves you. He cares for you. We didn't do it. He gave us the food and we are giving it. So are you a Christian? Yes. So what is the Christianity? So that was another week and another week. But finally, we pray. She said her son is in a jail or something with drugs and stuff. I said, let's pray for him. And I prayed. And I said, well, look and watch what God does. Because she said she doesn't believe in God. That's what she was saying. I said, we pray today. Let's see what happens. A miraculous thing happened. Her son was out of jail and he was free of drugs. He stopped using drugs. She comes that day beaming and she said, your prayers have been answered. My son is safe and he's not using the drugs anymore. That was like, you know, a week or two later. And I wanted to know, how do I receive Jesus? And that is when I let her in. So you see, it was a progress. It wasn't one thing. It was not one time deal.
Yeah. And what I'm seeing is, number one, you're putting yourself in a situation where you're going outside of your normal everyday routine so that you can meet new people and see where God might be at work. And then the next, this woman was someone God was wooing. And you just happened to be there and God used you in that situation as an instrument in His hand to point her to you. And then you had an opportunity to pray with her in Jesus' name and lift up His name and point her to you again. And so those are things any listener, anyone who's hearing this podcast right now can absolutely do, every single one of those things.
That's right. The opportunities are there. They are there. And the thing is, you will be rejected. There are those days. And the rejection was, we don't want this. No, I don't want God. I just want the food. So, okay, go get your food. God bless you. That's it. So there is a rejection. And there is an occasion to be discouraged, but that's not the point. Just think about our Lord Jesus, how many times He was rejected, how many times He was discouraged, how many times He was betrayed. Just think of Him, and then you go forward. You go forward. You just don't stop and get discouraged and say, this is not working. I'm not good at this. You know, and I have heard believers say, I'm not good with evangelism. I am not either, really. I'd rather just sit down and teach people. But when I'm out there, teaching takes all forms of things, you know, all kinds of things. You can teach them saying hello. You're teaching that person. They're getting information from you by saying hello to them.
I love this. This makes me think we all have these images in our mind's eye of bad evangelism. And we say to ourselves, I am not going to do that. And then we put these rules for ourselves to say, I'm never going to do that, not realizing Jesus does call us to be his witnesses. And we can all do that, every single one of us, all day long. And you are sharing just some incredible examples of how to be his witnesses by identifying yourself as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, explaining what that means, loving well, looking for people that God is wooing to himself, and then praying together in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I will always ask. I said, I'm a Christian and I pray in the name of Jesus. Is that okay? Because I don't want them any misunderstanding that, and I don't want to call God somewhere out there to pull out of a hat. I wanted to know the person that I'm praying to is a real person and he exists and his name is Jesus. So we have to tell them we are praying in the name of Jesus.
Anything else that you'd like to share, Miriama?
We are living in a difficult times, but God is on the throne. We would love everybody just to know him, because God is speaking. God is real. God wants to do something, wants to fight for this world. He already did his part, but he wants more people to come in. And I do believe that's why he's delaying his coming, because he wants more people to come to him. And the hour is short and at times dark. Let's shine. Let us shine and share the gospel with love, with intensity, with patience, with mercy and compassion.
Absolutely. Our light shines brightest in the dark and when we're all shining together. Thank you, Miriama, for joining us today. This is such great advice. And to our listener, I just want to encourage you to let your light shine brightly. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen. To get more involved in The Blue Cord, start small. Read my book, The Blue Cord, and sign up now to get my e-newsletter at thebluecord.org. I hope you can join me at our Blue Cord Women's Conference coming late April 2022 in North Texas. Look for more details at thebluecord.org.